Thank you, Todd. Wow, what a blessing it's been to be a part of this. Doesn't he do a great job? Give him a hand again. It's that gentle spirit, patience, and just a joy for the Lord. Thank you. Hey, I think I have a photo that you might like to see. Go ahead, Jared. Yeah, that was from 2002. I found that, and I'm in there. Did you see me? let's see, somewhere over here. You see me? Great. I can't see a thing. Goodness, that's awfully blurry for me. But anyway, that's just, you know, I've been a youth pastor for a long time, and coming up to Harlan, bringing the kids from a youth group has just always been so fun and so good. I love Heartland's approach. Disciple these kids. Disciple. And help them grow in their faith. So that was a great picture. I still have it, which is great. Let's see. I think there's a video to play as well.
Movie-making siblings. You may have heard of the Russo brothers or maybe the Coen brothers. Now meet the Garcia brothers, two Bakersfield teens who make their own movies, all with the help of a local youth film society. 23ABC's Noelle Lilly is joining us in studio now and has an inside look at these teens and the group that they say helped make them who they are.
Leah, these two may only be in high school, but they are well on their way to being the next big filmmakers while still keeping their faith.
While other kids were playing outside, Josh and Gabe Garcia were searching for the perfect shot.
Did you guys grow up watching movies yourself?
Yes. We grew up watching a lot of movies.
The bond between the brothers helps them bond on set. They've developed an ability to almost read each other's mind.
We don't even, like, really say what we're doing. We just do it, and we both understand.
They're currently working on a Western film called The Man from Gath, a film they plan to submit in the Christian Youth Film Society's upcoming festival at the Fox Theater, complete with a red carpet, judges, and prizes. The Film Society also provides local teens with opportunities to take acting classes from Hollywood professionals and work on the sets of feature-length films. The Society is a Christian-based group that hopes to teach teenagers positive values through the power of movies, creating the next generation Spielberg or Hitchcock right here in Kern County. From across Kern County are participating. They're going to have their own films on the biggest screen in Kern County right here at the Fox Theater. And I'm joined by some of those lucky teens who will be competing and participating in tonight's festival. Stephen James, we have Abigail Reinstead and Bethany Reinstead. We will be covering this tonight. Tune in at 11 p.m. because we'll have the winners see if these three lucky teens win any awards tonight. And they have celebrity judges coming down who are going to view these films and give the youth feedback and going on into their future with filmmaking and whatever else they decide to pursue. They're definitely off to a good start here tonight. Live in downtown Bakersfield at the Fox Theater, Noelle Lilly, 23ABC.
You know, I hope you don't mind me showing that. I know it takes a little while, and, you know, I hope it wasn't too long. But I can't tell you enough how precious it is to watch young people discover their giftedness, their talent, their creativity. And we've been doing it for 32 years now, and I think I'll give it another week at least. So thank you. And there's some still pictures, I think. We can just show those, just scroll right through them. I think the Embry brothers might also be in there somewhere. This was at a film camp. The festival is really gala. It's just red carpet. But the film camps really help the kids discover their talent. And they get to work on professional equipment like this. This was part of our mentor movie program. And I would just scroll right through. And then you'll probably wonder to yourself, self? Where is this headed? Let's see. Let's see, there's the Embry boys. And Caden. There, I think that's it, right? Okay, good. Yeah. Where's this headed? Let's find out. We talked about honoring our parents. You know, children, honor your parents. We talked about honoring our children, just kind of like reverse of that. We talked about honoring the church, and we talked about honoring the world. And then now, I want to talk about honoring God. I mean, it's like adding up all these things that we've already talked about. Now, let's honor God with all of that. Let's use that to bring glory and honor to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. And in Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's forgiving one another as well. You see, these things are the things that we can do to bring glory to God. Sometimes I wonder, how in the world can a sinful man like me give glory to the Almighty, the Eternal One, the Lord of hosts? Who am I? And yet somewhere in there, He has graciously given us all the ability, the responsibility, the joy of bringing glory and honor to Him. It's just amazing to be able to do that. And so I want to give you a few practical ways to give honor to God, to surrender our life and live for Him. Number one, pray without ceasing. When the apostles, this amazes me still, the apostles watch Jesus. They're with Him all the time. They watched Him feed the 5,000, and then again feed some more. And then they watched Him walk on water and calm the storm and raise the dead. And then they go and ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Yeah, I think somebody said that. Teach us to pray. What? I'm thinking, if I had seen these things, I would say, Lord, teach me to raise the dead. That's pretty awesome. Or teach me to calm the storm. But they asked Him, teach us to pray. And I'm extrapolating here. Extrapolating, spell that. So I'm extrapolating and saying, all these things that they see, they see that Christ, Jesus, has been praying all the time. In fact, He's known for going off early on His own and not being found sometimes for a little while. And so He has a reputation now of going off in the morning and praying solo. And earlier I said that the Lord's prayer is first person plural, and so that means praying corporately together. Jesus wants us to do that, and that's what we're, as the body of Christ, that's what we do. But also, we are to go into our prayer closet and in secret speak to the Lord and listen to His voice. So corporately and privately, pray at all times. Number two, worship. We've been doing a lot of that. But there's so much more to worship. And one of the things that I've tried to put in my life is to put on my God glasses. These are not them. But my God glasses are like they're not physical, but my God glasses are, they help me see God in everything. At least that's my goal, is to put on these God glasses so that here in chapel I'm seeing the glory and the joy of the Lord Almighty. Maybe when I go driving down the hill tomorrow, I might, you know, go around the curves, and who knows, maybe I'll see a deer or something like that. And I'm thinking, I've got my glasses on. I want to see God. And so I want to develop an attitude and an expectation of seeing God today, seeing God in the next hour, maybe seeing God in the next minute. So maybe think about it. Put on your God glasses. That's number two. Let's see what number three has to say. Fellowship. Yes. Fellowship, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We've seen that before. Rusty. Rusty is a guy I know, and he's fiery. He's got lots of energy, and he's a writer, and he writes a lot. He's written several screenplays and award-winning screenplays for that. But Rusty, we were all going off on a set to shoot, and the roads were a little bit icy, and this was down in Glenville. The roads were a little bit icy, and he had his son's brand-new pickup on a trailer, and the son's brand-new pickup was going to be part of the shoot, part of the scene. And he went around a corner that had a little bit of ice in the trailer, and the car jackknifed and put a nice big dent in his son's brand-new truck, Toyota Tacoma, I think it was. And Rusty got out of the car. He got out of the car, and he said, "Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sorry I did this, and it's going to cost him a lot to restore for his son." But he didn't blow up. He didn't get angry, because I know that Rusty spends time not only in prayer, but he spends time with men, spends time with his peers, and they help sharpen him, not to be sharp in the world, but to be gentle again, and to be wise in what he does and how he responds. So, number four, I just put no, not as in yes and no, but no as in I know Jesus. I know God. I spent time with him today. I've seen him because I had my glasses on. So I know God, and that's one way for us to bring glory and honor to him, is to get to know him. Get to know him. We want to get to know him. Because, well, we love him. But how much do you want to get to know him? I mean, however much you get to know God, however much you want to get to know God, you might be the one who desires the most. You want to know God. Believe this. He wants to know you more. And he wants you to know him more than you want to know him. God wants that relationship with you. Keep seeking after it. Go for it. And know God. Number five, serve. Serve God. And, you know, in James chapter 1, 27, it says that we are to look after, or this is pure and undefiled religion in the eyes of our God, is that we look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep yourself unstained by the world. Or not to be polluted by the world, one version says. And I see that, and I'm thinking, yeah, we help the widows and the orphans, but also, don't forget, don't be stained. You know, work to be unstained by the world. We can pray and help and give, but, you know, watch it. You know, don't be stained, polluted by the world. And remember, we talked about the world system this morning. Number six, evangelize. Keep your eyes open for an opportunity to evangelize. I was running a campus life club at Fairfax Junior High in Bakersfield, and it's kind of out in the country, and there's not a lot going on out there, and so they really welcomed a campus life club on campus, public school, on campus at lunchtime. And so I would go there once a week at lunchtime, and we'd have some games, and we'd talk about Jesus. And then they'd go back to their classes. One day, I was the class had pretty much gone out. We were done. I called my volunteer. I said, let's debrief the lesson today or the meeting. And there was a girl, Darla was her name. She was standing by the door. She hadn't gone out yet. And we were, me and my volunteer, we were about to get started. And I saw her out of the corner of my eye. And, you know, one of those good times when I can report, say, yes, I did good. I asked her, what's your relationship with God like? I mean, I said that. What's your relationship with God like? She said, huh? What do you mean? And I got to tell her what I meant by that. And I got to tell her more about Jesus and how he died for her and saved her, or could save her if she would only ask, if she would ask Jesus to forgive her sins and surrender to Jesus. And she did. So right then and there at school, it was great. I said, well, let's pray. And she kind of looks around. I says, it's okay. If somebody comes in, then we can stop. But let's pray right now. And we prayed right there. Nobody came in. And she left, and she was a great part of the ministry as the days went on. So keep your eyes peeled for Darla. Look for somebody who needs Jesus. Open up your eyes and say, wait, that person might need Jesus. And I can tell them about Jesus because I know Jesus. And maybe I don't know everything about Jesus. I don't know the whole Bible. That's okay. You know Jesus at least a little. If you're saved, he's in your heart. And so share Jesus. Be ready to share Jesus in every step, everywhere you go. And there's more. When I want to know what God wants, how to serve him, how to love him, how to pray at all times, how do I do that? Fortunately, the Bible tells us how to do that. The Bible says this in Micah 6:8, I have shown you, O man, what is good. And now this is the context. Is that the Israelites, the people of God, are kind of whining. They're kind of saying, how much is it going to take, God? Is it going to take rivers of oil or thousands of cattle? What's it going to take to please you? And God says, I have shown you. I mean, he showed them in the Exodus, the dry ground, as we heard about earlier, when he parted the sea. It was dry ground. And so God has shown them, God has shown us what is good. What is what he requires of us? And then he says, and this is what I require of you, or what does God require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, or mercy, as one version says, and to walk humbly with your God. Wow, that's not too hard, really. It's not all that complicated. I'm thinking, now, justice, we might need to elaborate on that a little bit. It's not talking about social justice or anything like that. I think clearly it's talking about doing right and knowing the difference between right and wrong and doing what is right. Now, sometimes that'll take the form of social justice. Sometimes that'll take the form of something else. But we can do what's right, and we can know what's right by knowing God. And so do justice, love kindness. Now, those two are related to other people. Justice for people that we know, kindness for people that we know and or people that we don't know. And then it says, and then walk humbly with your God. That is directly our relationship with God. Walk humbly. Remember that he is God and we are not. And so as we walk with him, submit to him again and again and again. He loves us and wants us to know him better than we could possibly know that. And so we turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God's will is for you? Submit to him. Surrender to him. Sacrifice your will to his. You know, when we plant gardens and things like that, we want that plant to do well and to bear fruit. And I know that God wants us to bear fruit as well. Jesus said, I am the vine, or I am divine, and you are the branch. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need really to seek after God, and he will, he'll guide us, and he'll have that relationship with us. Let's show another picture here. Yeah, there it is. When I've been backpacking before, sometimes I'll set up a little altar, have a little encounter with God, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a kind of a holy moment or a holy place. And so I just set up a few rocks, and I mark the place. And I'm sure somebody will come along and knock them down. That's fine. It's just that I set up those rocks. I got a picture, and I remember that this was the time I wanted to commit myself to God again. I wanted to commit maybe something about my life to God or some people in my life. I want to commit them to God. But this is a marker. And I would think that, remember we talked about the Ebenezer in that hymn that we sang? The verse talks about we lift up or we raise up our Ebenezer because he has brought us this far. And I think that the Ebenezer is a marker, a milestone, saying this is a holy place because God has brought us this far. And we can thank him and glorify him. And I ask you, I think if you would, maybe even go by the creek here or somewhere along the way and find a rock or two and stack them on top of each other and say, this was Heartland Memorial Day or Memorial Weekend Family Camp. And I'm going to remember this day. And so I'm going to set up these rocks or set up a little altar of sorts and say, this was the day when I committed this part of my life, or when I decided I'm going to live in this sort of way. I'm going to renew my faith in Christ this day. Set up those rocks. Set up an altar. Do that before you go home. But if you don't, then do it when you get home. And set it up so that you have a reminder, a milestone, so to speak. How's that? That's our last talk together. Thank you for staying awake, and I appreciate that. Even though the lights were kind of dim, it was very tempting. I almost fell asleep, so I'm sorry. But I do thank you so much for having me here, and I know on behalf of Todd and Jared and Zach and everybody else here, we're just so grateful that you're here. And God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and worship you, and we surrender all to you. Thank you so much for the time together and the joy that we've shared in knowing you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.